I'd like to invite you tonight over to Psalm 34 for this evening. Psalm 34, verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1 reads this way. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, gathering in your church, and Lord, again, once again, being reminded that we're two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would bless and fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, that you might be honored and glorified, and our lives empowered to be the witnesses you've called us to be. Bless tonight, Lord, and your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is The Results of a Wholehearted Commitment to God's Great Faithfulness. Kind of a mouthful there, but anyway, the results of a wholehearted commitment to God's great faithfulness. God is faithful, amen? And we can always bank on what he says, and he's made many promises. And so tonight, as we consider this psalm, David has really a commitment to the Lord's great faithfulness, and we have to do these things on purpose if we're going to expect to receive the help and the blessings of God. We have to believe that he is, and that when we call on him, he answers. And so tonight, I just want to take a few moments and consider the commitment, and then secondly, the influence on the humble, the poor man's benefit, and then a homework assignment, right? I'll share a homework assignment for you tonight. So verse 1 reads this way again. It says, I will bless the Lord. This is David, and he is committed to blessing the Lord at all times, not just when I'm feeling good, not just when I'm up, but even when I'm down, even when things don't go my way, I'm going to put my confidence in the Lord and his promise. And that's important because we don't always feel on topside, do we? I know ever since you've been saved, you've been on the mountaintop the whole time. You've never hit a valley. You've never hit a low place. And of course, that's not the case. But we want to be reminded that even in the low places, God wants us to call upon him. And he's promised to answer even in the valley. And so he says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. Listen to this. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. All the time be in my mouth. And again, that means when things aren't going my way, I will praise the Lord anyway. And that really confounds the lost world. They don't understand how we can praise the Lord. Even when we go through difficulties, we can still praise the Lord because we know he holds us in his hands and that he's going to work this out for his honor and glory and for our blessing. And again, the world doesn't understand that. And when you stop and think about it, what hope did we have before salvation? We couldn't give thanks at all times. We couldn't call upon the Lord at all times. We couldn't praise God continually because we didn't know him. But after we get to know him and experience him, we truly understand every day that truly he's worthy and he is faithful, even when things don't work out the way we would like for them to work out. So David makes his commitment, and notice the result of that is the influence that he will have on the humble. And God wants us to be humble as well, because if we're not humble, then the opposite of being humble is what? Pride. And what does pride say? Pride says, I can do it myself. I don't need anybody. I don't want anybody. I know how to take care of not just some things, but I can take care of everything, right? And sometimes, you know, when you work with younger people and somebody starting out into a new job, and sometimes people come in, they're not very humble. They figure they've got it all. They know how to do it. And you watch them do the things that they were just taught the wrong way. And you try to help them out and point them to it. And they can either, if they're submissive, if they're humble, they'll learn. But if they're prideful and arrogant, well, that's going to make a mess of things. And it's not going to bode well for them. And it won't bode well for us either as believers. But I want you to look at verse 2 and consider the influence on the humble. He says this, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Listen, the humble shall hear thereof and be what?
glad. The humble are going to hear. The humble are going to be receptive. But if we don't need anything from the Lord, unfortunately, the child of God can do that as well. We can say, listen, I know what I need to do. I don't need anything from the Lord, and not even realize that what they're doing is they're stiff-arming God. And here's the one thing. Listen, David said, I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen the seed of God begging bread. And that's true, but God honors those who honor him. And that means when we honor the Lord, we say that we need him. Listen, one thing's for sure, we may have lived life for a while, but here's one thing we've never faced, and that is today. And another thing we've never faced is tomorrow. And we don't know, the Bible says, what one day can bring forth into our lives. One moment can bring forth into our lives. And so really, we really need the Lord all the time, and that requires humility. Again, God resists the proud, the Bible says. In fact, God says he hates the prideful. And that's a holy and righteous indignation from God against the prideful, and that's because it's very destructive. I remember having this experience working with a fella and that just came on the scene, and he was probably in his mid-20s, and he was going to run the show. He didn't know what he was doing, but he was going to run the show, and he didn't want to hear anything from anybody. And he said, you know, I expect probably, I'm not kidding you, within about 8 or so months, I'll probably be the manager of this department. And I'm thinking, wow, he's got a lot of high expectations. And anyway, you know what happened? It didn't work out well. For him, probably by the second week, he wasn't showing up on time. Third week, he was gone. And so they have all these great expectations. And when people make a prideful statement, watch out. Listen, what comes before a fall? Pride comes before a fall every time. And oftentimes when people walk like that, they meet the end, and it's not a very happy ending. And so God says here in his word, and David being inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says, my soul shall make her boast in what? In the Lord. If I have anything to brag about, it's about God's great mercy and goodness towards me and towards all those who put their faith and trust in him. So he says, my soul will make her boast in the Lord. And he says this, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So let's consider this influence on the humble. Verse 3 says this, oh, magnify the Lord with me. That's the humble. The humble will say, I want to join in. But the pride heart says, I don't need any of that. I don't need to join in that. I could just do the religious thing exteriorly, but I don't really need to give myself to the Lord. Do you think people do that? To me, it boggles my mind why anybody would want to come to the house of God and not participate. Why go? Right? Why go? I wouldn't go. Amen. I remember I was telling my son just the other day, I don't understand what some people, do you believe this? Listen, some people appease their conscience. They're not saved. And they've even maybe made some declaration that would indicate that they're not saved, but they go to church anyway to appease their conscience. You ever heard of that? Do you believe that? That people will go to church just so that they can feel good that they've done the Christian thing or the right thing. And I remember being lost, and I told you I've made that profession of faith. I didn't get saved. And after about 3 months, I wanted no more and nothing more to do with church and Christianity. I thought, why? I don't want any part of that. It takes time out of my life. I'm not getting anything out of it because I was spiritually dead. And it was causing me to consider the things that I was doing that was wrong, something I shouldn't be doing that I wanted to be doing, listening to the wrong kind of music, not speaking the right way and having to be careful. And so I said, forget all of that. And so when that fellow witnessed to me 3 years later, I really wanted no part of it. I said, thank you. I've heard it all before. Not interested. And I really meant that. Not interested. And I am so thankful that he did not quit on me. And I'm thankful that he found another avenue around to share the gospel with me. And then once when the Lord saved me, got my attention, I had an interest like never before. I was hungering and thirsting for the living water. God gave me something I didn't have before, But listen, even on this side, other than knowing that if we're under the preaching of the Word of God, and I don't know what kind of church I went to, really, to be quite honest with you, when I went the few times that I went, I couldn't tell you if they were preaching the gospel or not. I just thought they were all the same, right? And that's not the case. But anyway, even today, if you're under the preaching of the Word of God, you have the potential of getting saved if you're not saved. But if you're not saved and have no interest and you're just doing it because it's a works thing, to me it's kind of futile, isn't it? It's kind of not, it doesn't really do anything. It just never appeased my conscience, and I was so happy to get as far away as I could from it, because the Bible says the natural man doesn't understand the things that are spiritual. I had no interest at all. But he says this, verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Right? He says, join in with me. He's not talking to the lost. They have nothing to do. They don't really enjoy those things. He's talking to the redeemed. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Isn't that good? So he is encouraging the humble-hearted believer to join him in praise to the Savior, the Redeemer of our soul. And so he says, be glad with me. Listen, the humble shall hear and be glad in verse 2. Then there's the magnification there. And then notice verse 4, I sought the Lord. There's a looking for the things of God. It ought to be concerning. Listen, I would dare say there is something wrong in an individual who professes to know the Lord and there's no search for the things of God. Can you really be a believer and have a right relationship with God and you don't look for the things of God? And you're not interested in the things of God? And you're not concerned about the Word of God? He said, I sought the Lord. Well, where do we look for the Lord? Where did David have to look for the Lord? In his Word, right? So he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And so when we read the Word of God, we realize the importance of prayer. We realize the importance of calling on the Lord and asking him for his guidance and asking him for his help. And so the humble are learning these things. They're seeing these things and they're being encouraged in their relationship. So he said he delivered me from not just some of my fears, but from all of my fears. And you know, as the believer walks with the Lord and we go through these valleys, we go through these dark times where maybe there is some fear, then we seek the Lord and he does deliver us, does he not? He brings us through some scary times. I don't know if you can, I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can look into your life and realize there were some very difficult times, and here you are today because of the grace of God bringing you through those things. And then notice, again, as we consider verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This is the humble-hearted that are seeking God and enjoying the influence of God in their lives. And then lastly, I want you to just look at the poor man's benefit. And who are the poor? Well, that's us. And what does that mean? That means I realize with God, without God, what do I have? That's pretty poor, isn't it? If you have nothing, you're poor. And so we need to realize that, listen, without God, I have nothing. So that means I need everything from the Lord. And so consider the poor man's benefit here in these last four verses. He says, the poor man cried, and the Lord what? Heard him. It wasn't a maybe thing, it was a definite thing. But listen, if we're not poor, we won't cry. If we have everything, there's no need to cry. So there's no prayer life. That ought to be alarming if we're not crying out to the Lord. What we're saying is, I don't need you, God. I've got this thing called life down better than anybody else. I don't need a soul. I'll take care of it myself. Well, they don't really realize how poor they are. The prideful world does not realize, and unfortunately, if they don't get saved on this side of eternity, they're going to realize their poverty when they stand before the Lord, when they're undone before God, and they had nothing that they really needed. And so the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear and delivereth them. So if we have the right kind of reverential respect that we need the Lord, the Bible tells us that he delivers us. And then he says this in verse 8. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." You know what he's saying? Experience it for yourself, right? You ever watch any of these cooking shows? And it really looks good. It really looks good. Now, the worst part about watching a cooking show when it's really mouth-watering, looking really good, is the chef at the end of the program will say, "Okay, let's just see how this tastes." And they go, oh, that's so good. And I'm thinking, I have no clue. I'm on this side. You're over there. You're tasting it. I don't know what you're talking about. I'll agree with you. It looks good, and I wish I could have it, but there's no way I'm going to eat what you just cooked. Everything God has prepared for his people is for us to participate in, is for us to experience for ourselves, that we might see the goodness of God. So he says, "Oh, taste." Isn't that, listen, why does he say, "Oh, taste"? How do you taste? You experience yourself, right? That's what he's implying here, that you might and that I might experience for myself and see that the Lord is good. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Then he says this, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." That's the tasting. Trusting, right? How do you taste to see if the Lord is good? Trust him. Listen to what he's saying and by faith, move forward in that or you'll never taste. You'll sit back. You'll be on the other side of the screen at a distance looking at this chef cooking up a wonderful meal and never taste it. And there'll be no benefit of that. I don't watch cooking shows anymore. All right, once in a great while, they make me hungry, and there's no satisfaction. I never get satisfied. In fact, what they do is they get me a little bit hungry, and then I go looking for some blue cheese dressing and some celery sticks. Not exciting, but anyway, God wants us to taste for ourselves and see that the Lord is good. And he says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Experience that deliverance that only God can bring. And with that, notice what it brings here in verse 9. "Oh, fear the Lord." Listen, when we have an experience with the Lord, we will have the right kind of reverential respect for God because we've experienced him. The lost world does not revere God, doesn't reverence God. It defies the Lord because they have no... They have never met him like we've met him through salvation. Listen, if they would be confronted by the Lord like you and I were confronted when we opened up our hearts to the Lord and listened to what he had to say and he revealed to us the condemnation of our sin, now all of a sudden we saw something we didn't see before, and that is, "Oh yes, Lord, I am lost and undone." And then we cried out to him and he saved us. That experience puts us on, it opens up a whole new relationship, doesn't it? We know God by in that experience like we've never known him before. And he says, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." Do you believe that tonight? Everything, listen, we can be satisfied with what the Lord desires to give to his children. He says, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." Then notice this. He talks about the natural world. He says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord," so there's a diligent searching, isn't there? "They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." How do we seek him? Well, like we mentioned earlier, through his word, right? And then personally, by calling upon him through prayer and saying, "God, I need you." So tonight, that was the commitment of the wholehearted individual who's trusting in God's great faithfulness. And then secondly, the influence on the humble, and then the poor man's benefit. And then lastly, here's the homework assignment. Ready? We will find in verses 11 through 22 instructions on how to fear the Lord, how to properly fear the Lord. That's your assignment, right? And we're not going to grade it. We're not going to collect it. That's just between you and the Lord to consider reading those verses 11 through 22, and keep this in mind, instructions on the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. And we ask that you would just continue to bless as we break off for prayer tonight, that, Lord, that you might be honored and glorified, and that you might build Northwood Baptist Church for your honor and glory in all your churches. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.